robot cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case filed by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Johannesburg, December the 14th, 11:35 p.m. The central city area is starting to quieten down as the last of the cinema crowds leave for the suburbs. There are still a few diners in the restaurants that dot the area. Donald and Louise Jamison, both in their late 40s, step into Commissioner Street after having had a meal in the Marlborough restaurant. They make their way to one of the large parking garages in Van Bronder Street, taking the lift down to the third level. Only a few cars dot the large expanse of concrete.
Well, I can't say that's the best meal we've ever had at the Marlborough.
No, but it was a fun evening.
But that's not quite the point. I mean, they put their prices up, but I think the standard's gone down. It's hardly fair exchange. I don't mind paying if I feel I'm getting value for my money.
Oh, don't be so mean, Donald. We can afford it.
I don't like throwing money around.
Well, we'll go back there again.
Well, we'll give them one more chance.
The whole point being that you like the place.
Yes. Well, I think I'll have a chat with Guido and tell him to pull his socks up or we won't eat there again. I give him a lot of business. I mean, tonight alone we were a party of eight.
All right, then you have a talk to him.
Excuse me.
Donald, that man over there coming this way.
Oh, now what's wrong?
Sorry to bother you.
Yes? What can I do for you?
I've got a bit of a problem. I need a lift.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't give people lifts. But if you're stuck, I'll give you the money for taxi.
I'm not begging for money.
Well, then I'll lend you the money. You can pay me back.
I said I need a lift.
Donald, he's got a gun.
Before Donald Jamison can react to his wife's warning, the man pushes a heavy caliber revolver against his head, reaches into the car, and turns the ignition off. The man's name is Benny Lamont, English-born. He's been in South Africa for 30 years, ever since deserting from the Royal Navy whilst his ship was in port in Durban. Since then, Lamont has lived by his wits, assuming a dozen different aliases. He has always managed to keep one step ahead of the police. Donald Jamison sits frozen in the driver's seat. His wife Louise stares in horror as Lamont opens the driver's door.
All right, me old mate, get out of the car nice and slow.
Look, if you want money...
Of course I want money. What do you think I am, an amateur?
Please don't hurt us.
Relax, lady, I'm not going to hurt you. That's not my style.
If you want the car, just take it. I don't mind.
You don't mind. Oh, I like that. You don't mind. Oh, that's a laugh. As a matter of interest, if you did mind, what would you do about it?
Well, nothing. I mean, you've got that gun. What do you want?
I told you, I want a lift.
Where to?
Well, now, that sort of depends.
Well, why don't you just take the car?
Because, love, if I drive out of here in your car, you run off to the cops, and the next thing, all the little boys in blue are out looking for me. And I wouldn't like that. So you're going to drive us?
What do you mean, us?
Oh, didn't I tell you about Sid?
No. Who is Sid?
Oh, I must introduce you. Sid, come on, lad, move yourself. Transport's ready.
Took you long enough. What you been doing? Having a party?
Sid Detoy moves out of the shadows and walks towards the car. Detoy is considerably younger than Lamont, but twice his size, and unlike Lamont, has not always been able to avoid the attention of the police. Detoy has spent most of his life in prison. Donald Jamison stands next to his car. Benny Lamont is on his right, and Sid Detoy on his left.
This is my old mate, Sid. Now, come on, say hello to Sid.
Hello, Sid.
What about you, lady?
Hello, Sid.
How do you like that, Sid, eh? Got him well trained, haven't I, eh? And only took a couple of minutes.
Sure.
And a loaded gun, of course.
I'm impressed. Well, come on, let's move. There's still cars down here. If we hang around, we're going to end up with an audience.
Yeah, you're right there, Sid. Come on, let's get moving.
Well, who's going to drive?
Oh, now, that's a stupid question. It's your car. I wouldn't dream of driving someone else's car. So, I'll tell you what we're going to do.
Come on, hurry up, Benny. I don't like standing out here.
Now, take it easy, Sid. Now, Mr. What's your name?
Jamison.
And this is your wife, Mr. Jamison?
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I don't like nonsense, if you get my meaning. Now, Mr. Jamison, you're going to drive. Your lady wife is going to sit in the back with my friend Sid here. He carries a knife, you know. Ooh, bad boy with a knife is our Sid. I'll accompany you in the front, all right?
I'm not going to sit in the back with
you. We're not asking you, lady. You should just move yourself.
Unless you want your husband hurt. Now, you don't want that, do you?
No, please
don't. Stand up, man. Just move, lady.
Now then, push the seat forward. Into the back you go. You know, I like these two-door cars, don't you, Mr. Jamison? It means the people in the back are nice and secure, if you get my meaning. That's it. In you get. Look after Mrs. Jamison.
Don't you touch my wife.
I wouldn't touch this old crow. I like him a bit younger than this.
Oh, Sidney, what's your manners? Now, Mr. Jamison, you get in, and I'll get in, and we'll be for off.
Donald Jamison starts the car and drives out of the parking garage. At the exit, he considers saying something to the cashier, but realizes that it might endanger their lives. So he pays the parking fee and drives into Van Ronda Street, heading north.
Where do you want to go?
Well, I don't know. What do you fancy, Sid?
How much money has this bloke got in it? Have you checked?
Not yet. Mr. Jamison?
Well, I've only got about 6 or 7 rand on me.
What? You drive a car like this?
Of course, Sid. He's one of the plastic money brigade. Right, Mr. Jamison?
Yes.
I've got some money in my bag.
Oh, you are? How much?
Watch your feet!
You stupid!
You keep driving, Jamison. Don't you try.
Really stupid, lady. Hey, what do you think you're going to do, eh?
Did you have a gun there, Sid?
No way, one of those gas spray things.
Oh, don't you hurt my wife, I'm warning you.
I'm warning you. Either one of you tries anything like that again, you'll wish you were never born, understand me?
Yes, yes, but just leave my wife alone. Louise, are you all right?
Yes, yes.
You've been through too many flicks, lady.
Now then, Mr. Jamison, tell me. Where do you live?
Melrose North, Laura Lane.
I like the address. It's good enough for me.
All right, Mr. Jamison. Laura Lane, Melrose North, please. And don't try anything stupid.
Hey, you just went through a red light, man. What are you trying to do?
I'm sorry. I wasn't concentrating.
Get your act together. We don't want to get a ticket, do we?
Benny, there's a cop car coming up behind us.
Traffic, guys.
I think it's a flying squad.
He's flashing his lights. He wants me to pull over.
Well, what are we going to do, Benny?
No. Take it easy. Don't let anyone panic. Pull over, Mr. Jamison, and whatever you do, just remember your wife in the back.
Oh, please, Donald, do what they say. Please.
Donald Jamison slows the car and pulls over next to the curb. Car 48, crewed by Sergeant Fred Brown and Constable Harry Evans, stops behind him. The two policemen get out of their vehicle and approach the Jamison car from opposite sides. Sergeant Brown stops next to the driver's side.
You went through a red light back there, sir.
Yes, I know, Sergeant. I'm sorry, I wasn't concentrating.
You were lucky not to have an accident.
Yes, I know that, yes.
Do you have your license on you, sir?
Oh, yes. Here.
Constable, check out the registration.
Right, Sergeant.
Mr. Jamison. I'll just give you a warning, sir.
Thank you, Sergeant. I'll be more careful.
All okay, yes, Sergeant.
Right, Constable. All right, Mr. Jamison. Just watch your driving.
Yes, Sergeant. Yes, thank you.
Well, nice going there, Mr. Jamison.
Are you feeling, Mrs. Jamison? My knife make you nervous.
Louise, are you all right?
Yes.
Well, everyone's fine. Good. Now then, let's get to your house, Mr. Jamison, and we'll see what.
Sarge. You're telling me? Come on.
Are you going after them?
No, not after them. We're going to follow them, see if anything develops.
It's not on the stolen car list. Registration, third party and license checked out.
Yeah, bloke's driver's license also looked okay.
So what's bothering us?
The other passengers in the car. That's what bothered me.
Yeah, there was something strange there. Can't quite put my finger on it.
I'll tell you what it was. They were tense, and not just because of going through a red light. Something else going on there.
So we tail them, and then?
I don't know. Let me give control a call and see if they've got anything on the car. Or a Mr. Donald Jamison, 184 Laura Lane, Melrose North.
Sergeant Brown radios into control and requests any information on the car and its driver. It is 12:15 a.m. as the two policemen drive down through the wilds onto the M1 North, keeping well behind the Jamison's car so as not to alert the occupants. Donald Jamison takes the Athol Oaklands off-ramp into Athol Oaklands Road and then left into Koenig Avenue, left again into Porter Avenue, and finally right into Laura Lane. The police car turns into Laura Lane just as the other car disappears up the long tree-lined driveway of number 184. Sergeant Brown stops the squad car just short of the driveway.
Control to car 48, control to 48, coming 48, over.
Car 48 control, car 48 control, receiving your control, go ahead, over.
No information on dark blue Berkeley Delta Foxtrot Bravo 141 Tango. Also, no information on Mr. Donald Jamison, over.
Thank you, control. We'll check the house out, over.
All right, 48, keep us informed, over, hand out.
All right, Constable, let's go and take a look at the house.
Yes, Sarge. I wonder what's going on.
Your guess is as good as mine. And the only way to find out...
is by taking a look.
Right, first time, Constable. We'll keep to the shadows and watch out for dogs.
Oh, that's all I'm short of, Sarge. Getting chewed up by a dog.
Right, let's keep it nice and quiet.
Okay. Where the hell is the house? This driveway goes on forever.
No, just round there. See it?
Oh, yeah. Big place.
Damn it. All the outside lights are on.
Not going to be easy getting close to the place without being seen.
Now, wait a minute. Stop. If we keep right up against the trees, move along over the side of the house, then we can get up to the building without being seen, if we're lucky.
Sarge, over at that window, there they are. Three blokes and the woman.
Yes. And the one bloke and the woman don't look very happy.
No. I'd say... Hey, Sarge, that guy's got a gun.
I see it.
What do we do, Sarge? We can't just rush in there. One of those people might get hurt.
Constable, get back to the car. Get on to control. Tell them what's going on and ask them to send another car here. I don't think we're going to be able to handle this alone. Tell them to move it.
A.M. In the house, Benny Lamont and Sid DeToy stand in the wood-paneled study. Donald and Louise Jamison are sitting on leather chairs, their faces showing the strain of the situation.
Right, come on. The safe, man.
Steady, Sidney boy.
Where's the safe?
Behind that picture there over the fireplace.
Oh, very original. And I don't mean that picture.
I'll open it for you.
No, thank you, Mr. Jamison. I'll open the safe. Oh, not that I don't trust you. But there is just the outside chance that you've got a gun in there. Then you might try something erratic.
No, I wouldn't.
You better not, boy. Because if you do, I'd love to smash your face.
There, you see, Mr. Jamison, you've upset Sid. And that's not good news. So you go and sit down next to your wife like a good little boy. I'll open the safe. And Sid here, he'll keep an eye on you, just to make sure you don't do nothing silly.
I wish this boy would. Just one little move, eh, Sepp?
Now, take it easy, Sid.
Please take the money and then go. We won't call the police or anything.
No, I'm sure you won't.
Is there money in there, Benny? What is there?
Pretty little diamonds, earrings, you name it.
Please don't take those. They belong to my mother.
Oh.
She did?
Yes.
Then she won't be needing them, will she? What else you got there, Benny?
I'd say about $3,000 in cash. Yeah, not a bad haul, yeah. And, of course, a gun. Now, I spat automatic for it.
Hey, so you were going to try something, huh?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't going to...
Stop it,
shut up before you catch a gun.
All right. You've got what you want. Now, please go.
You're in a bit of an hurry to get rid of us. The night is still young.
Sarge! Yeah, man, keep your voice down.
Get through to control.
Yes, Sarge. They haven't got any cars available right now. They want us to stay here, watch what's going on. As soon as they have a car to send, they'll send it.
Okay, but I'm not so sure we can just stay out here. I don't like the way things are going in there.
Why? What happened?
That bloke there, a young one. Looks like he's just itching to climb into Jamison.
They both got guns.
Yeah. I think they got one out of that safe.
What do we do?
I think we're going to have to try and get into the house.
And then?
Disarm them. Don't ask me how, Constable. I haven't thought that one out yet.
Give them time, Sarge. They're having drinks now. Just look at that.
That could work in our favor. They could get drunk. That'd slow them down. Then, on the other hand, they could turn really nasty. We'd have to move in smartly before the Jamisons get hurt.
If only we knew the layout of the house.
Well, we don't. I can only see two doors leading into that room. Study.
So, if we can get into the house, and I go in the one door and you go in the other one...
No. I don't like that idea. We don't know if we can get to both doors at the same time. And then we suddenly appear, they start shooting, we start shooting. Hell, Gunsmore, can you see what'll happen with all that lead flying around?
Yeah, I see what you mean, Sarge. So what are we going to do?
I think I've got an idea. Let me think it through. It might just work.
Oh, you don't want a drink, Mr. Jamieson? Nice drop of scotch?
No.
And what about you, Mrs. Jamieson?
No, thank you.
Yeah, see how polite your wife is, she said. No, thank you.
Oh, come on, Benny, man. Let's get the stuff we want and go, man.
No, just like you said. Rush in, rush out. You miss all the best stuff.
Yeah, but come on.
Don't be in such a hurry, man. First, we're going to need a case of some kind for all these lovely goodies. And then I think we should maybe look around and see what else there is. You never know your luck. I mean, just look at it. When we started out tonight, we didn't think things were going to turn out this way, did we? We didn't expect a jackpot like this now, did we?
What is the matter with you two? You've got what you want. Why don't you go? Leave us alone.
Hey, don't you tell us what to do, eh? You want another clout? You like being snapped?
No, of course I don't.
Oh, they like to frighten people. They enjoy our fear, isn't that it?
Oh, listen, Sid. We're going to get a lecture in psychology.
What?
Oh, Sid, you go upstairs. Check the place out. See what you can find.
And leave you down here with these two?
Well, why not, Sid? You think I can't handle them?
If I go scratching around upstairs, there might be some sort of alarm system in here. And if I set it off...
Ah, nice going there, Sid. You're not just a pretty face. That's good thinking, me old China. Now then, what you do is to take Mr. Jamieson here with you, and he'll make sure that no alarms goes off.
We turned off the alarms when we came, and you saw my husband doing it.
Yeah, but you see, your husband tried to get smart with the gun in the safe. And now our trust in him has been broken. Pity about that.
All right, big deal, up you get. We're going for a little walk.
Oh! Why did you hit him? He didn't do anything.
Just a little warning, that's all. Just to let him know who's boss. You know, in case he tries something you once saw in the movies. Hero stuff.
I won't try anything.
No, I'm sure you won't. Because I'm sure you'll remember that I'll be down here with a little lady. Don't forget that, eh? All right, off you go, Sid, and go.
Looks like a bedroom.
Looks like he's searching around. Jamison's standing against the wall.
Yeah, he's got a gun on him. I think this is our chance. They're separated. We can take him out one at a time.
Sure, but how? They're in there. We're out here. How do we get in without warning them?
Over there, Constable. There's a ledge under the bedroom window. Windows are open. There's a sort of trellis thing there under the ledge.
Well, we've got to get to the trellis without being seen.
If I go along the trees, then cut in towards the house, crawl under the study window, then up the trellis, I should make it.
Makes sense so far. But once you get onto the ledge, then you've got to get into the bedroom. Get the guy away from the bloke before he spots you.
I know.
So how are you going to do it, Sarge?
Don't ask me stupid questions, Constable. I don't know.
What do you want me to do?
As soon as I get up there, you get up to the study window. Keep an eye on that bloke. Wait and see what develops, okay?
Okay, Sarge. I just hope this works.
So do I, Constable.
I told you, there's nothing here.
Now you just keep quiet. I'm sick and tired of all your whinging. Looks like you think you own the world, eh? Don't you think? You think you're better than me, eh?
No, I don't.
Oh, you do. Look at the way you look at me. You think I'm rubbish, eh?
No, please. Now, listen, I...
What's the matter?
Nothing. No, look, I'm scared, all right. I admit it. You've got me scared. I'll tell you where the cash is. The cash from my business. There must be at least 10,000 rand in the box. But please, just take it and go.
Now you're talking. Where is it?
Under the bed. That bed there, next to the window.
All right, but if you're trying something, as you help me, I'll change the shape of your face. You get me?
I'm not trying anything.
My wife. Keep your voice down, Mr. Jamieson. Your wife is still downstairs with the other bloke.
Yes, of course.
Better make sure this one doesn't try anything. Get my handcuffs on it. Better tie his feet up and put a gag on him so he can't shout and warn his friend.
Yes, so you can use my ties. I'll get them for you.
Thank you, sir. You know, when you saw me at the window, I thought for a moment you might give me away. Quick thinking on your part, sir. Thank you. By the way, is there any money under that bed?
No. When you stopped us earlier this evening, what made you follow us here?
I don't really know, sir. Just a feeling I had.
Well, he looks pretty secure.
Yeah. Let's see where Constable Evans...
Is he down there?
Yes. Right next to the study window.
What now?
I think you'd better stay here. I'm going to go downstairs.
Sergeant Brown signals to Constable Evans, indicating that he is going to go to the study and that Constable Evans must keep watch from the window. In the study, Benny Lamont pours himself another drink.
I think you ought to remember this night for a long time.
Yes.
It'll make for interesting conversation when you have your smart dinner parties.
I don't think they'll want to talk about it.
No? Maybe you won't. There's something wrong.
What do you mean?
It's gone all quiet upstairs.
Well, why? What's happened to Donald?
Shut up. Nothing's happened to your precious Donald. There was movement up there just now. Now it's all quiet.
I didn't hear anything.
Yes, I could hear Steve was talking. I could hear him opening cupboards and things. Why is it so quiet?
They could have gone into another room.
Yeah. There's something going on. I don't like it.
Well, how do you know?
Instinct, lady. That's how I've kept away from the law. Just a feeling I get instinct. I'm smart, see? I've been around a long time. I don't intend slipping up now.
What are you going to do? Go up there?
Oh, no. I'm going to stay down here.
Well, then how will you know there's something wrong upstairs?
Look, don't you start getting smart, because if I'm in trouble, you're in trouble.
Well, what have I done? Please, what have I ever done to you?
Shut up and come here.
Why?
Listen, lady. Wasn't a gentle request, I'm telling you. Come here!
What are you going to do?
You are going to stand really close to me. So if there's any trouble, you are going to be my ticket out of here.
Sergeant Brown stands just inside the passage leading into the study. Constable Evans is out of sight behind the window. Benny Lamont has his back to the fireplace, holding Louise Jamison in front of him as a shield.
Now, I tell you what we're going to do. You cops are going to walk in here with your hands in the air. Then I'm going to leave with Mrs. Jamison.
No, that's not possible.
Oh, you want to get her killed?
Of course not, Benny. But we can't let you get away, can we?
You think I'm joking? You think I'm bluffing?
No. Constable?
Sarge?
The other cars out there?
Yes, Sarge. Two more at the bottom of the driveway.
There, you're bluffing. If there were more cars, then they'd be here helping you too.
What for? We're doing all right. They know you can't get away. Your friend upstairs is all neatly packaged, ready for a warm cell. So what do you say, Benny?
Please let me go.
Come
please.
On, Benny. Let the lady go. Come on. You're in enough trouble already.
Sarge, what happened?
He shot himself. You all right, Mrs. Johnson?
Oh, yes. Where's my husband?
He's okay. He's upstairs.
Is this bloke dead?
Yes, Constable. He's dead.
Sid DeToy was charged with attempted robbery with aggravating circumstances. He was found guilty and sent to prison for 15 years.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting. In fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of squad cars.
Listen again next Friday evening to another dramatic story in our South African police series, Squad Cars. Dramatized by Anthony Frijon, Squad Cars is produced by Colin Fish and directed by David Gooden.